Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iyov Perek Yud, Chapter 10. To recap, in Chapter 9, Iyov wants to argue his case in a trial with God, but feels that he will not be able to articulate his innocence because he is intimidated by God. It seems to Iyov that the righteous and the evil are treated equally, so why bother with any argument? Iyov strongly believes in his innocence and uprightness, but his immense suffering and fear of God's power and control precludes his ability to have a fair trial. Iyov feels that if God removes his rod of suffering from Iyov, then maybe Iyov will feel free to speak fearlessly. In chapter 10, Iyov continues his argument, our chapter right now. When a protagonist speaks for more than one chapter, the verses flow one into the other and continue the same idea. Here we see that same structure. Iyov continues his one-sided dialogue with God. Verse 1, Nakta nafshi b'chayai, e'ezva alai sichi, adabra b'mar nafshi. My soul is disgusted with my life. I will load my grief upon myself, and I speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I say to God, do not condemn me. Why do you fight with me? Are you like a person who has eyes of flesh, or a life like a man that you seek out my sins? I will not be found guilty. Yet no one can save me from your hands. You made me with your hands, God. You molded me like clay. You poured me like milk. You clothed me with skin. You granted me life and were kind to me. Your ordinances protected my spirit. Although you have hidden this in your heart, I know this is still with you. Rashi explains verse 14 and forward. If I sin, you watch my every move and punish me for everything and spread a net for me as if I am a mighty lion. You bring witnesses to testify against me all the time and bring torture upon me. If only I had died coming out of the womb, but since I didn't, at least let me have a few days rest before I go to a land of darkness and death. So what we're seeing here is that Iyov is disgusted with his life, and he's speaking bitterly. You created me. You took care of me. So why are you turning on me? I know somewhere inside you want to still take care of me, and you want to show compassion to me. Why are you punishing me all the time and spreading obstacles before me and bring witnesses to testify against me? Again, ironic, because Iyov sees the friends as the witnesses who are testifying against him. But really, in the heavenly scene, it is the Satan who is the prosecutor, who is bringing, in a sense, witnessing against him. And again, Iyov goes back to the same idea that he would have liked to die in the womb, and he doesn't want this life. And even on this life, he just wants a few days of a normal life, even before maybe he will die. Rabbeinu Bachya, in Kad HaKemach, sums up Iyov's reply in this way. Iyov persists in his view that there is no divine providence, hashkacha pratit, guiding individuals on this earth. This is according to Rabbeinu Bachya. He proves this by the image of the storm and plague that injures both the righteous and the wicked. When Iyov speaks about the plague and destruction, that injures both. So that is Eov's way of saying that there's no difference between the two. That it's for nothing, chinam, right? We had this word earlier, for no reason. Eov complains that God does not let him catch his breath between agonies. Every minute is filled with suffering and agony. And furthermore, if there is divine justice, how can a plague come suddenly and make everyone, including the innocent, suffer? If this is divine providence, the world is in the hands of a wicked king who covers the faces of the judges so they cannot perform their job to judge justly. This is a big indictment. Is Eov saying indirectly that God is a wicked king who covers the faces of judges so they cannot judge fairly and justly? So this perek really has a very strong criticism. And is that fair? Eov is speaking out of pain. But is he allowed to say something like that? So Eov concludes, maybe it's just better to deny divine providence, to say that all these things happen, but God is not doing them. There is no divine providence, hashgacha pratit, than to attribute injustice to God. Maybe it is better to theorize that God does not bother with lowly creatures like man. Eov continues to state that he does not fear the divine justice because he knows he did not sin, that God is accusing him falsely for no reason. So again, this is a difficult perek, because on the one hand, Eov is saying there is no divine justice or divine providence, but he's saying he is suffering. So who's punishing him? He says God is all-powerful. So again, we see that Eov is lashing out. Not all his arguments are consistent, but we feel his pain and we feel his passion. That saying that he's getting these punishments because of his actions, Eov feels was unfair. That the level of his suffering is so great that it's not possible that the punishment fits the crime. So again, this brings us to the big question in life in general. What is the meaning of suffering? And if suffering happens, how should we address it? Is Eov's attempt one that we as from Jews accept? Is it a path that we have to understand in others if they go through this process? Maybe not everyone goes through this process or should even go through this process. But if they do, that it is okay, that it is acceptable because Eov is in pain. And in the end, we'll see that he accepts God's actions. Is all of Sefer Eov really about process? About when you're in that stage of anger and denial and terrible suffering, are you allowed to cry out, to ask? Or is one required to accept it stoically and quietly and passively? That's the big question of Perek Yud. Thank you for studying together. L'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.